1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is God, who He is, how can one quench Him? How can you extinguish God? We are told here, do not quench the Spirit. What does it mean? It means, do not quench the Spirit's work. The Spirit may be working in a certain person. The Spirit may be working in a certain place. Do not quench the Spirit working. There are another two things which the Bible speaks that we may do to our peril regarding the Holy Spirit. We may resist the Spirit. And we may also grieve the Spirit. So before we look at what it means to quench the Spirit, let's understand clearly what it means, first of all, to resist the Spirit, and secondly, to grieve the Spirit. First of all, what does it mean to resist the Spirit? Do you remember Stephen, the first Christian martyr, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, looking round the Sanhedrin who condemned him to be executed to death, to be stoned to death? He said, looking at them, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Spirit is the sin of unbelievers. It is, as it were, preventing the Holy Spirit from entering into your life. It is to resist Him coming in to convict you. Maybe you're beginning to realize something you are doing is wrong. And you're beginning to get pangs of conscience. And you resist the Spirit and you carry on. You are resisting the Spirit convicting you. You're preventing Him from entering in and having any rule or control or, as it were, say in your life. It means to reject the Spirit when He wants to do a work in you. It means even to oppose the Holy Spirit. That's what resisting the Spirit means. And because it means that, it's very helpful to note that it can only be committed intelligently. Nobody resists the Spirit by accident. And nobody resists the Spirit accidentally. No one resists Him without realizing it. They know what they're doing when you resist the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is elsewhere in the Scriptures called the Spirit of Understanding. So you can't resist the Spirit without knowing it. You know that there's a conviction here. There's a pang of conscience there. You know that God in heaven disapproves of certain things in your life. And you're not going to let Him in and rule your life. You resist Him intelligently. You resist Him knowingly. You resist Him fully conscious of what you're doing. It's the sin of unbelievers. That's resisting the Spirit. But the Bible also says, grieve not the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Note exactly the full verse. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed and to the day of redemption. And so the first thing you learn about grieving the Spirit as opposed to resisting the Spirit from entering in and doing a work within you, grieving the Spirit is the sin of true believers. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Spirit who sealed you. And a seal means who secured you. Grieving the Spirit is not a sin of the world. Grieving the Spirit is not a sin of unbelievers. Grieving the Spirit is a sin of true Christians. That's the first thing you learn. You can only grieve someone that you have a relationship with. That's the biblical use of the word. To grieve the Spirit means to provoke God. You remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel, the people of God, through the wilderness. You remember what God had to say to Moses on one occasion? He said to Moses about his people Israel, "How long will this people provoke me?" He said this to them when they began murmuring, when they began complaining. And this is what it is to grieve the Spirit. When Christians complain, when Christians murmur, when Christians start speaking, when Christians start finding fault, when Christians start niggling over smaller issues, that grieves the Holy Spirit, which sealed their salvation. And as we said, it not only means to provoke God, but it means to weary God. It's a term the Bible uses. It's a term actually that God uses himself. You remember in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, God said to his people Israel, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." Solemn. We can grieve the Spirit. Christians can grieve the Spirit with their talk. With their talk. Our talk grieves the Spirit. Our talk wearies the Lord. And you remember how Israel replied to that charge which God made? "You've wearied the Lord with your words." They said, "How have we wearied him?" And oh, Malachi 2:17 spells it out. You weary the Lord when you say everyone that does evil in the sight of the Lord does good. In other words, what it's saying there is you grieve the Spirit when you explain evil away. When you excuse evil. There is such a thing as evil. And then he says, you weary the Lord also when you say, "Where is the God of justice?" Have you ever caught yourself saying, "Oh, there's no justice in this world"? Listen, mark Malachi 2:17. When you do that, you grieve the Spirit. You weary the Lord with your words when you say there's no justice in this world. Listen, God says, "Justice is mine. I will repay in my time and in my way." And it might be God's way not to repay in time, but to repay in eternity. But God will repay. And when you say there's no justice with God, you grieve the Spirit of God. So, resisting the Spirit is a sin committed by unbelievers. grieving the Spirit is a sin committed by true believers. Now, what about quenching the Spirit? Here is the word of God for us tonight. Do not quench the Spirit. This sin, as far as I can make out, is committed by both believers and unbelievers alike. Possibly more often by believers. As we said already, it is putting out the Holy Spirit's work and activity. Quenching what he's doing. God might be working in a certain place, in a certain community, in a certain family, perhaps even in a certain office or factory. He's working there and you quench him. You stop that work by your behavior, by something, as we've discovered, something you say perhaps, putting him out. Don't do it, says the apostle. We can quench the Spirit within our own lives. We can do that. We might have a burning zeal and a burning enthusiasm for several things in our Christian life, and we mustn't quench it. It's the Spirit who places these things with us. We might have a hunger for learning, a hunger for knowledge, a hunger for the truth, a hunger for what the Scripture says. Don't quench it. Someone may have a burden for souls. Can't meet somebody that speaks to them of Christ. Might have a burden to be a missionary, a burden for outreach, a burden for the lost. That's the Spirit giving him that burden. Do not quench the Spirit's work. If the Spirit gives someone a burden for souls, see, you don't quench it. If the Spirit gives someone a yearning for truth, to understand exactly what the Bible says, whatever you do, see, you do not quench it. Maybe someone has a yearning, a longing to be useful. They want to serve God in some way. They've got this burden. Oh, woe betide those who put it out. Do not quench the Spirit's work in a soul, even it be your own soul. And so we ask the question now. How would we quench the Spirit? How would one do that? Good question. I'll suggest maybe three ways. We quench the Spirit by neglecting our salvation. Now, I think almost every Christian of any length of time knows what Hebrews 2:3 states. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that is usually, properly of course, applied to unbelievers who are neglecting the need to be saved. But when we do that, we forget the original purpose of that message. It is addressed to Christians. Hebrews is addressed to Hebrew Christians. Jews who had converted to Christianity but were becoming a little bit disillusioned with the new religion. It was too staid for them. They were missing the old glamour of the temple. Missing the ceremony of the rites of the Day of Atonement and the priests parading through in their garments and the breastplates and all the magnificence of a ceremony. They were missing that. This plain, staid Christian, just the reading of the Scriptures and singing and teaching us all there is. And they were yearning for the old glamour of the old religion. And so they're told, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Or as we say in Hebrews 2:3, How will you escape if you neglect your salvation? Now, we're told that Christians are to be diligent. They're to be diligent to go on to maturity. There's two verses we think of. Keep your heart with all diligence. You see, you may be converted truly. You may be truly forgiven. You may be truly born again. That does not mean the Christian life is all over. It means it only begun. With that new heart, you have to live a new life. And it's a process of learning. Neglect not your salvation. Sometimes the Bible uses the word salvation simply to mean your justification, simply to mean your forgiveness, simply to mean your entry into the kingdom of heaven. But it also uses the word salvation with regard to the full thing of arriving in heaven, fully matured, a grown Christian. That's what's in mind when it says neglect not. You're maturing into a fully developed salvation that God, that Christ will present blameless before the throne at last. Don't neglect that aspect of your salvation. Keep your heart with all diligence. And give diligence to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Now you see the point. These things will not automatically happen. Give diligence to ensure it takes place. Add to your faith virtue. Add to faith and virtue knowledge. Add to these things something. It's a long process. Don't neglect the process of coming to a fully matured salvation. Neglect not your salvation. That's how you would quench the Spirit. You remember that verse? He who has begun a good work in you will continue it till the day of Jesus Christ. So don't quench the work which he has begun. That's what neglect your salvation means. In the first place, it has an application to unsaved, of course. But he who has begun it will continue it unless you quench him. Unless you quench his work. Unless you quench what he's doing. So do not quench the Spirit by neglecting your salvation. Do not quench the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit also by lack of feeding. And that very epistle of Hebrews talks about the fact that they still needed the food of, they were still having been fed on milk, when by this time you ought to be on strong meat, the apostle says. But you notice what the food is. The food is the Word of God. And you see, it's very important. We're talking here about quenching the Spirit's work. One of the Spirit's greatest works was, as it were, compiling the Scriptures. That was the work of the third person of the Godhead. Moving men of old, men of God, to speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. In a very special sense, the Bible is the work of the Holy Spirit. And you quench the Spirit when you do not read this, when you do not study this, when you do not give a diligence to examine the work of the Spirit in the Scriptures. You quench the Spirit by neglecting that, by not feeding your soul on the work of reading and the preaching of the Spirit. You quench the Spirit. The Spirit has given us this. The Spirit has given us a revelation, the Word of God. And when we ignore it, we're quenching the Spirit. Because it was He who produced this book for the benefit of believers, that they might become mature through it. Do not quench the Spirit by neglecting to study the Word of God. There's a third way that we can quench the Spirit, the Spirit's work. It's by not following through the Holy Spirit's convictions. It's the Spirit's work to convict. But if we don't follow through these convictions, what are we doing? Quenching the Holy Spirit's work. Do not quench the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit points out to us that we are guilty before God. Do remember, the Spirit doesn't make us feel guilty. The Spirit points out to us we are guilty. And you see, the Christian's position is actually far worse than some people wrongly think. Oh, it's just guilt feelings. As if guilt was feelings. Guilt is something real. And before God, we are guilty, whether we feel guilty or not. We're not talking about solving feelings. We're talking about removing guilt before the law of God. But the Spirit convicts.